So the reading today is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. That's on page 1008 of the Bibles on your chairs. Page 1008, chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted.
Thank you very much for reading, and can I add my welcome? My name's Hugh. You don't often see me up at the front here, but you do often see me sitting on the chairs because I'm a regular here. I work at a law firm just around the corner called Evershire's. And it'd be very helpful to me if you could follow the outline that you should have been given as you came in. I don't know what the state of your faith is as you've come here this lunchtime. Maybe you'd say it was pretty strong. Maybe you'd call yourself a Christian, but you'd say you wish your faith was stronger. Or maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian at all. If you're in that last category, I don't know what it is that's brought you here, but it's possible that you've seen a Christian colleague or friend or family member, and there's something about them that you find attractive and their faith that you find attractive. Well, whatever category you're in, I bet there are times when you've looked at other people and you've thought to yourself, I wish I had their faith, but I just don't. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you've sometimes taken a step back and you've looked at yourself and you said to yourself, compared yourself with colleagues maybe, and you said to yourself, well, maybe I'm deluded here. I mean, all these other people are living for different things and I've got this faith. I've got this different perspective. Well, maybe it's just a waste of time. Well, if you can relate to any of that, I'm going to suggest this lunchtime that what you need is better eyesight. If you want to have Christian faith, faith in Jesus Christ, or if you want to have more faith or better faith in him, then you need to see better. Now, before you walk out and think this guy's gone mad and do something else with your lunchtime, let me explain what I mean. You see, there is one kind of eyesight that we all have, or at least most of us, and that is physical sight. And none of us needs any help in trusting in or having faith in what we can physically see. You and I can see each other physically now. As Madonna sang, we're living in a material world. Don't worry, I'm not about to break into song. But it's true, isn't it? We live surrounded by material, physical things that we can touch and see. And the world around us lives, doesn't it, for material things, whether that's money or possessions or career or lifestyle or even material human relationships with people who we can touch. Or even what I might call material earthly religion. Religion that is based on sacrifices that we can see with our eyes. Maybe worshipping gods who we can see and touch. Rituals we physically perform. I'm not suggesting that we need better eyesight to trust in any of those things. Materialism, human relationships, what you might call physical, earthly religion. No, physical eyesight isn't what we need. Rather, what you and I need, if we're to have Christian faith, or better, stronger Christian faith, is better spiritual eyesight. We need to see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, to fix our eyes on him, as was said to us in our reading that we've just had. That's the kind of faith that is described in the book of Hebrews. And we're going to be doing a little bit of dotting around Hebrews as I show us this. So you might just want to be ready for that. And the first passage to turn to is just back one page, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, page 1007, where the writer says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it's that that's given the title to my talk today, which is Believing is Seeing. This book that we're looking at today, the book of Hebrews, is written to a bunch of first century Christians to encourage them not to have faith in what they can see around them, but rather to live with spiritual sight. So if you like, when we read the book of Hebrews and pick it up, it's a bit like a trip to the spiritual opticians. It's a good thing now and again to go to the opticians, isn't it? I remember the first time I sort of realised I needed glasses, and I should have gone earlier than I had. And I went in and I was given some new glasses, and I walked out, and suddenly all the buildings I could see around me were really clearly physically defined. No longer were things vague or fuzzy. Well, my prayer for us is that as we read Hebrews this lunchtime, we'll be able to see the Lord Jesus and the blessings that we have in him more clearly, less vaguely. And our first point on our outline is that there is a problem with the physical world, so don't trust in it. There's a problem with the physical world, so don't trust in it. If you'd like to flip back, please, to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Just a couple of pages. Hebrews chapter 2, I'll read from verse 6. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. The problem with trusting in physical things, things in the world around us, is that all is not well with our world. We all know that, don't we? All we need to do is turn on our televisions and see the latest appalling news from Syria, or maybe spend an Easter weekend with our family and witness the family tensions there, or just the office politics and gossip. We'll know that things are not as they ought to be, and our lives are not as they ought to be if we're honest with ourselves. And that's the point that is being made, really, in these verses. So in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 2 of Hebrews, we're told man is made a little lower than the angels, but he's been crowned with glory and honour, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Well, so far so good. But then verse 8, it says, at present we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. The world isn't as it should be. It's not satisfying. We're not as we should be. We're designed to be, if you like, at the pinnacle of creation, with everything under us. But life just isn't like that. So we're not to put our hope in the things of this world, in what we can physically see. They won't deliver. So firstly, the world isn't as it should be. Secondly, don't trust in a religion you can physically see. And that is, if you just flip forward to chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. Which I'll read and then explain the context. So chapter 10, verse 1 of Hebrews. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of those realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So the background of this letter is that it's written to Jewish Christians who are being tempted to go back to Old Testament Judaism. And they're being urged not to do so. And we can see why it's tempting, because in the Old Testament there is a physical earthly priest we can see, performing an animal sacrifice we can see, at an altar we can see, in a temple we can see. There's something reassuring about having that take place in front of our eyes. Whereas for Christians, those who trust in the Lord Jesus, well, we have a priest, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself 2,000 years ago. We can't see him now. He's sitting in heaven at the right hand of God. He intercedes, he pleads for the sins of the people on the basis of that sacrifice 2,000 years ago. We can't see the priest, we can't see the sacrifice. We can't see where it is that he's pleading for our sins, because he's with God in heaven. And we can understand why that might be a bit unsettling at times. But the writer to the Hebrews urges his readers to stick with the unseen reality of Jesus, to whom the Old Testament system was merely a pointer. So chapter 10, verse 1, we've just read, says, "Since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of those realities." The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. This part of Hebrews is where the writer is talking about sacrifices. And in verse 2, we're told, verse 3, in these sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Because, verse 2, they would no longer, otherwise they would have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. The sacrifices in the Old Testament system didn't work. That's why you kept on having to do them. In contrast to Jesus, who we can't see, but whose sacrifice once for all has done the job to make us perfectly clean, perfectly cleansed before God. So look with the eye of faith to Jesus, and don't be tempted to switch to what you can see with your physical eyes, because Jesus is the reality. He really deals with my biggest problem, which is my sin, my rejection of God. And all this physical religion is just a pale shadow of that spiritual reality. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not in the same boat as the original readers of this letter. I'm not tempted to go back to Old Testament Judaism, because I was never there in the first place. But there are other things I can see physically which I am tempted to trust in, rather than putting on my spiritual glasses and looking to Jesus. If you like, there are things I'm tempted to look to put right my problems, or to look to put right the problems of the world. In the language of chapter 2, which we just looked at a second ago, maybe I'll get glory and honour or dignity in my life if I trust in my money, if that's what I look to, or in my possessions, or in my career, or in that physical relationship that I crave. If I look to them to give me a sense of my dignity and my place in the world. Those are the things people around me are trusting in, and they seem pretty happy much of the time. But the writer to the Hebrews says, no, don't listen to the siren voices of the world that encourage us to trust in what we can see, however alluring they are. No, we're to put on our spiritual glasses and realize those other things are merely shadows. The promises that they hold out are just shadows or echoes of the reality which is to be found in Jesus Christ. Oh, they may look like things that would give us honor and dignity, but they won't. They're not to be trusted. We're not to put our faith in them. So that's my first point. There is a problem with the physical world, so don't trust in it. Secondly, rather, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Rather, fix your eyes upon Jesus. Have a look forward to chapter 11, verse 1, which we've already looked at once, where we were told, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Remember, faith is being certain of what we can't see. Can't see physically, that is. And then in chapter 11, we're given examples of people who did just what I've been talking about, who don't pay attention to what they can see with their eyes, but rather see with the eyes of faith. And there are loads of examples in chapter 11. It's worth reading afterwards if you haven't done that. But let's just focus on one, which is the example of Abraham in verses 8 to 10 of chapter 11, where we're told, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So Abraham, he trusted God's promise, and he went. Even though he'd never been to the place he was going, he left behind the physical, tangible place he lived, the bricks and mortar or the wood or whatever of the house that he lived in. And he looked ahead to the promised land, to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. A place he couldn't see, a place he didn't even get to in his lifetime. But he was prepared to do it. He obeyed God and he went, even though it meant living in tents for the time being. And that is biblical Christian faith, which sees by faith what God has promised and acts accordingly, being prepared to leave behind what we might enjoy physically now for the sake of the promised reward if we trust in God's promise in the future. So that's Abraham. Then look forward to the start of chapter 12, the verses we had read to us at the start. Chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. So Jesus is the supreme example, par excellence, of someone who didn't look at his physical circumstances at the time. Just think, he was the Son of God, and yet he suffered the pain and ignominy of being rejected by men and women and then dying on a cross. But he didn't pay attention to those physical circumstances. He didn't waver in his trust in God because he was wearing his spiritual glasses. He looked ahead to the reward he knew he would enjoy of sharing glory with his Father and being crowned with glory and honor when he'd finished his work of saving people. And so as those reading this letter, we are being encouraged, like Abraham, like Jesus, not to pay attention to our physical circumstances, but rather to see by faith. And actually, Jesus isn't just the example of someone who we're to look at by faith, of somebody who lived by faith. He's also to be the object of our sight. It's him that we're to look at. The writer says, let us look to Jesus, our trailblazer. Let's fix our eyes on him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame for the sake of his future reward. And we can endure whatever physical circumstances, whatever disappointments, whatever opposition life may throw at us now, as we look ahead to him. It's as though Jesus is ahead of us in the race as we look forward to him, and we're encouraged to keep going and keep running the race of the Christian life ourselves. And he's saying, don't give up. Don't grow weary, as it says in verse 3. Don't grow faint-hearted. I kept going for your sake. I suffered and endured for you. I've done everything necessary for you to be saved. I am now crowned with glory and honor. All you need to do is fix your eyes on me. Look at me. See with the eye of faith. Trust me, and you will enjoy that glory and honor yourselves. And what is our future going to be like if we do that? Well, it's going to be wonderful. Our last reference to look at today is still in chapter 12, but verses 22 to 24. I'll read chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. These verses tell us something of the future glory we will share with Christ. But I think they do more than just describing that. You see, if we're Christians, we know in our heads, don't we, that there's a wonderful future to look forward to. It's one thing to know that in our heads. It's another to see that future by faith. And I think the writer knows it's hard to do what I've been talking about, to live by faith rather than by sight. And so I think to help us here, he deliberately paints a picture, a beautiful picture of what it is that awaits us.
So let's have a look at what that is. Well, it's the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. A secure city for God's people where the living God himself will dwell with innumerable angels in festal gathering. I wonder, can you see that wonderful city? I've just been away for the weekend to Marseille in the south of France, which was lots of fun, but that's nothing compared to this glorious city where the living God will dwell with his people. We'll be surrounded by innumerable angels. I wonder, can you see those angels? Can you hear their music, far more beautiful than the finest choir or symphony? And we will be there too if we're trusting in Christ. So we're the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Our name's already there. We've already been enrolled. It's that certain. I wonder, can you taste the heavenly banquet that we will enjoy in the new creation? Much better than any Michelin-starred restaurant. Can you see and feel the warmth of a city illuminated by God himself, who will be its light, and the streets dazzling and sparkling with jewels? I want to be there, don't you? I don't just want to stumble and live by physical sight, trusting in what I can see around me. Because there's just no comparison. This prospect is far, far better than anything I can see with my own eyes. I wonder, what's the best feeling you've ever had? What's the best meal you've ever tasted? The best company you've ever enjoyed? Do you long to go back sometimes to those memories of wonderful times in the past? Well, don't just do that. Don't just look back to those wonderful times in the past, but look forward. Those things are just pale shadows of the reality which we will find in Christ if we look to him. If you like, sublimate those longings that you have, those fond memories you have, into a longing for a new creation where things will be so, so much better. So how are we going to have better faith, more faith as Christians? Well, we need to see. That's the title of my talk today. Believing is seeing. Seeing by faith the Lord Jesus Christ, fixing our eyes on him and the glory we will share with him. So as we close, let me ask, how is your spiritual eyesight today? Are you living by physical sight, looking to something you can see or touch now? Or are you living by faith, looking to the Lord Jesus, our trailblazer, who's gone ahead of us, and to the joy that awaits us? Can I encourage you, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, to do that today? It is so, so worth it. Why not pray now for better 2020 vision of Jesus and the glory we'll share with him? It will give you better definition. You'll be able to see more clearly and navigate better through life to your final destination in glory. Well, how are we going to do that? How are we going to improve our spiritual sight? Well, two things I've suggested on the outline, which are both massive themes in the book of Hebrews. So if you get the chance, I'm not going to turn to those verses, but do turn to them afterwards. Firstly, we need God's word. In the book of Hebrews, there are loads of encouragements to keep looking ahead and fix our eyes on Christ and trust God's promises in the Bible. And there are also loads of warnings against what will happen if we cease to trust God's word. So we need to read our Bibles if we're to see Jesus and the glory that we're going to enjoy with him. I don't know what works best for you. Reading your Bible every day, listening to sermons. If we don't do that, it's like walking around without our glasses on. We'll stumble. We'll stop seeing Jesus. We'll start crashing into things. So firstly, God's word. Secondly, each other. Again, Hebrews is full of encouragements to keep on meeting together as Christians so that we point each other to the Lord Jesus. And there's a couple of verses I've suggested there.
Why not go to a church which clearly teaches about Jesus Christ and the promises we have in him, as we see in the Bible? Why not spend time with friends and family who we can pray with and encourage and point to Jesus Christ? I wonder, is there anyone in your life who you do that with, who you meet up with maybe, and encourage as a Christian and pray with to keep trusting in Christ? We all need that. And if we're not yet Christians, it's fantastic to have you here. Can I say, why not talk to a Christian you know? Talk to them about why they live for an unseen Jesus Christ and look to him rather than trusting in the physical world they can see around them now. As we close, shall I pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the glory that awaits those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Please help us not just to understand that, but to see it. And so please would you help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, not on the things of this world, as we look ahead to the reward that we will share with him. And we pray in his name. Amen.